Okay, God bless. Last week we looked at Satan, the prince of darkness. And today I thought, since we need to know what we're dealing with, brethren, if we're going to overcome, we need to know a little bit about the enemy. It isn't my purpose to major in darkness or to major in demonology or anything like that. But the Bible gives us enough information that if we're going to fight, we need to know how we're fighting and who we're fighting. Because otherwise, the thing that we see the flesh and blood. We see the lawyers, we see the courts, we see the doctors, we see the illness, we see the whatever it is, we see something, we get letters in the mail threatening whatever it is, a neighbor, and our tendency is to rise up in our flesh and blood and confront this thing. Well, you know, this is the way the world does it. They fight this way. And I'm not saying that we don't have to use lawyers and doctors. That's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is, you're going to use them, but that's not going to be, you're not going to trust just in horses and chariots, okay? Maybe horses and chariots will be involved in your battle, but that's not where your trust is, okay? So we're talking about the realms of the kingdom of darkness, and maybe we should just talk about the spiritual realms, the heavenly realms first. Now, I think I mentioned last week, if I didn't, I know I was thinking about it. The heavenly realm, there are at least three dimensions or three realms, three levels. Paul said that he went to the third heaven. Now, did he go to the highest heaven or did he not? I contend that Paul did not go to the highest heaven. The highest heaven, I would say, is the first realm. Then there's a realm below that, the second realm. And then there's a realm below that, the third realm. And I have reason to believe that even that third realm is probably divided into three other subdivisions. Let me go to the scripture now and we'll talk about it. In 1 Timothy 6:16. And we're talking about the kingdom of God here, first of all, his heavenly realm, before we get down. So we'll start with the highest, okay? I may have read this last week, but somebody might be listening to this that wasn't on last week. Let's start at verse 15. We're talking about the Lord, which in his times he shall show who is the blessed and only potentate, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Now, so there's no question about who we're talking about here. Who only hath immortality. Who only hath immortality. What is immortality? It means absolute life. Never death. Not ever death. We are mortality. We are mortal. He is immortal. Will not die. Cannot die. Amen. Who hath immortality, dwelling in the light, which no man can approach unto. In other words, he is in a realm that nobody can come into except him. Maybe we can see it from afar off. I think Moses wanted to see that realm. And God said, no, you can't see that. You're going to die. But I'll give you a little glimpse of the backside of it. And so he put his hand, he hid Moses in a cleft in the rock, and the glory of the Lord passed by. See, this is that powerful light. And then as the Lord passed by, he lifted his hand, amen, and let him see the afterglow, amen. So it says, which no man can approach unto, whom no man hath seen, nor can see, to whom be honor and power everlasting. Amen. Somebody needs to mute their phone, brethren. I can hear a feedback on it. Check your phones and see if it's muted. Amen. Okay, so this is the highest realm. Now, Satan fell from the second realm. Okay, Satan did not fall from this place of the throne of God. He fell from a second realm. And I'm going to give you some of the verses. I'll read them very quickly. We read some of these last week. I'm going to go to Isaiah chapter 14 just very quickly. And I'll just read a couple of verses, start in verse 12. How art thou fallen from heaven? See, this is a heaven realm now. We know that unapproachable light, no man can approach. Angels can't even, they can see it, but they can't approach it. He is so powerful, awesome, reserved, a space reserved only for him. Amen. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? Now that's not Lucifer, that's Heliel. Amen. How art thou cut down to the ground, which didst weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend unto heaven. See, he wanted to ascend up into that first realm where God was. Amen. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. This is figurative speech. I will be like the Most High. Yet thou shalt be brought down to hell, to the sides of the pit. In other words, he's going to go down further than anybody can ever possibly go, to the lowest possible spot of hell. So it appears that there may be realms of hell too. The lowest hell. Amen. I don't know how many realms there are. Just, you know, Dante may have had something. Any of you ever read Dante, the Inferno? Very interesting. I'll have to almost say this is a revelation this man had back in the 1500s. And I don't know how he dared to even write it without being executed by the Roman Catholic Church. Do you know that the priests and the archbishops and the popes were in not the lowest, but among the lowest place of hell in Dante? Very interesting. So, the man may have had some kind of a revelation. Yet thou shalt be brought down to the sides of the pit, and they shall see thee, and they that see thee shall narrowly look upon me and consider thee, saying, is this the man that made the earth to tremble, that did shake the kingdoms? Now let me go over to Exodus chapter 28. Ezekiel, I'm sorry. I looked at the E there. Ezekiel 28. We read this last week. I'm going to read it again. It'll be a good review for us again. Ezekiel 28, and then let's look at verse 11. Moreover, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, son of man, take up a lamentation upon the king of Tyrus, and say to him, see, he's likening him now to the king of Tyrus. Say to him, thus saith the Lord God, thou sealest up the sum, full of wisdom and perfect in beauty. Thou hast been in Eden, the garden of the Lord. See, this is the devil again. We know where he was. Every precious stone was thy covering. We went through all these stones, and I'll skip over that. The workmanship of thy tabrets, of thy pipes, was prepared in thee in the day that thou wast created. Thou art anointed cherub that covereth. He was an overshadowing. Amen. You know, in the church world today, the churches teach that the pastor is supposed to be the overshadowing. He's supposed to cover the flock. This is bad doctrine, brethren. Only the Lord is the overshadower. Satan himself was allowed at some point in heaven to overshadow in that he was the leader of praise and worship. But no man can take that place of overshadowing other men in God's kingdom. So he was the overshadowing anointed cherub covered. And I have set thee so. And thou wast on the holy mountain of God. Thou hast walked up and down in the midst of the stones of fire. Thou wast perfect in thy ways from the day that thou wast created till iniquity was found in thee. Amen. So by the multitude of thy merchandise, they have filled the midst of thee with violence, and thou hast sinned. Therefore, I will cast thee as profane out of the mountain of God. That's that second realm that he was cast out of. And I will destroy thee, O covering cherub, from the midst of the stones of fire. Thine heart was lifted up. It was pride that caused his problem here. Thou hast lifted up because of thy beauty. Amen. I'm glad that God didn't make me beautiful. Amen. Some things to thank the Lord for. Thou hast corrupted thy wisdom by reason of thy brightness. I will cast thee to the ground. I will lay thee before kings that they may behold thee. Thou hast defiled thy sanctuaries. This is the stop signs, the ways God tried to stop him. Amen. And God, you know, if you're going to go the wrong way, God is going to set up stop signs. He's going to set up barriers. He's going to set up things. And you can say, wait a minute, is this God trying to stop me or what? Or you can just go blowing right on through. Now, if we have the word of the Lord, stay the course, we know that the hindrances are not from God, but the hindrances are from the powers and principalities of darkness that are trying to hinder us. So we need to know for sure the direction that God has given us in these days and hours. So thou hast defiled thy sanctuaries by thy multitude of thine iniquities, by the iniquity of thy traffic, thy merchandising, trading. Amen. Therefore will I bring forth a fire from the midst of thee. It shall devour thee. It will bring thee to the ashes upon the earth in the sight of all them that behold thee. And they shall know thee among the people, shall be astonished at thee. Thou shalt be a terror and shall never shalt thou be any more. Amen. Somebody has still got to mute your phone. I can still hear a feedback on that. Check your phone, please, you that are on the phone. Amen. Okay, now let's give some other evidence of Satan's fall from this place. Luke chapter 10. You're going to be familiar with this verse. I think I've read it before. Luke chapter 10, verse 18. And Jesus said unto them, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. Jesus was there. He saw it. He was part of it. You know, there is no contest. There is no real contest between God and the devil. It's not a close call. It's not a close wrestling match. Do you understand? Some people think that God and the devil are really in a, Jesus and the devil, really in a big struggle. You know, it's like God weighs 210 and the devil weighs 190. You know, God is 6'3" and the devil is 6'1". You know, and they're just fighting with one another, and it's really going to be close. But we know the Lord is going to win, and not even close, not even close, brethren. And you can ask yourself, well, why does God allow the devil to do what he's doing? Because he's using him to test us. We have to be tested, brethren. We have to be exposed to temptation. You can ask yourself, well, why is there only 1,000 years of the millennium, and then Satan is going to be loosed again? Why? Because there will be a whole generation or generations of people who have never been exposed to the thing that we are being exposed to in our day and in our time. This people that just say, well, why does God allow that? If there is a God, why does he allow this? Why does he allow suffering? Why does he allow people to die? Why does he allow people to suffer? Brethren, you don't know God if you're saying things like that. He has given us freedom of choice. We are not made robots. I mean, maybe the angels are probably the closest thing, and yet there came a time when they had a choice. They also had a choice. Amen? So let me go on here. Revelation chapter 20, verse 10. And we're going to see the end result here of Satan. And the devil, that deceiver, was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone. See, the lake of fire and brimstone is a different place than Heliel, than hell. Hades. Amen? Where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. Now you see, this devil is a living spirit. When God is once God creates a living spirit, he does not annihilate it. In other words, he doesn't put it out of existence. It is going to remain in existence, either in paradise or in some level of torment. And should I say, some level of honor and glory in paradise. Amen? I believe there's different realms and levels of reward. Why does it say that to each one his reward? Hallelujah. So Satan fell. All right, we're talking about that second realm. But we also know that from that realm, there were other angels with him that also fell. So I'm going to take you to the book of Daniel. We don't know how many of those angels were there. There were a few. I'll just say, I'm going to talk about princes, prince-type angels, okay? Satan is the prince of darkness. He's the chief prince of darkness. But he had also, there were other powerful angels, princes of darkness, that fell with him. Now, we don't know their names, and we don't know for sure how many there were. I can speculate and say maybe there were 10. I would say in God's perfection, there might be 12. But let's just speculate. There might be 10. We know only the names of about two or three of them. And in the book of Daniel, the names of at least two of them, possibly three, are given here in Daniel. Now, look in Daniel. Wait a minute. I'm getting ahead of myself here. We can look in Daniel. Yes. Daniel chapter 10. Let's start in verse 13, okay? Daniel 10:13, okay. So here's the story now. Larry was mentioning it earlier. Daniel was fasting and praying for how long? I believe it was 21 days, wasn't it? 21 days. And in his time of fasting and praying, he was getting no answers. So what did Daniel do? Did he give up? Did he say after 18 days or say, well, I don't know, forget it? By the way, he wasn't doing a total fast, all right? Daniel was an older man. He probably didn't have the strength to do a total fast. I don't know that I would have the strength to do so at this point, although I have done so in younger days. But it said he ate no sweet bread. And he wasn't having anything of honey and cookies and ice cream and this type of thing. Probably bitter herbs. I don't know, where was it in the feast of, was it the Passover, Larry, where they ate the bitter herbs? I see you nodding your head. Yes. Okay. So he's fasting in this limited manner. He's praying. He's seeking the Lord. And you know, it as Larry mentioned, it seems like to some of us, it's been a lot longer than 21 days. It's been months. For some of us, it's been years. Some of the things that we're really seeking an answer to the Lord to. And we're saying, Lord, when are you going to break through? How long is it going to take? And we have to know that we still have the course, that we have the right path. Amen. So let me start off here in Daniel 10. Where did I say I was going to start? 13. Okay. So now an angel comes to Daniel. Let me go back to verse 9. By the way, I think this angel's name was probably Gabriel. I don't think it mentions it, but I think it is because Gabriel is the messenger archangel. Okay. We only know the real name of three of the archangels. There was Gabriel, there was Michael, and then the one that became Satan was Heliel, and the term El means God. Michael, like God. Gabriel, messenger of God. I'm not sure what Heliel, bright like God, I guess something like that. Okay, so it says in verse 9, I heard a voice of his words. And when I heard the voice of his words, then was I in deep sleep on my face and my face toward the ground. In other words, when he heard the voice of this angel, Daniel fell right on his face. Okay. And behold, a hand touched me, which set me upon my knees and upon the palms of my hands. And he said to me, O Daniel, a man greatly beloved, understand the words that I speak unto thee and stand upright, for unto thee am I now sent. And when he had spoken this word unto me, I stood trembling. So the angel gave him the power to stand, okay? And he said unto me, fear not, Daniel. Now here's the key. From the first day that thou didst set thy heart to understand and to chasten thyself before thy God, thy words were heard, and I am come for thy words. So we're getting a picture of spiritual warfare here. I mean, warfare of a higher realm, not the lower realm of warfare where you're tempted by pornography and cigarettes and alcohol and bad language and that type of thing. No, this is higher warfare against higher realms of demons. Okay, these are fallen angel principality type that we're fighting against. So Daniel had to stay the course. The very first day that he began to pray, God sent the answer out. Now, what was happening in the heavenly realm is that there were spirits, high order spirits, that were preventing Gabriel from coming to Daniel. Can you imagine a demon, dark angel, fallen angel spirit that could hinder Gabriel? Can you imagine that? But something was hindering him. Amen. He says, but the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 21 days. But lo, Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me, and I remained there with the kings of Persia. All right. So it's giving us a picture here of Satan's kingdom. How many were there? I'm going to speculate and say 10. Why do I speculate and say 10? What basis do I have of that? Well, because of what we have over here in Revelation and again in Daniel, where we have a picture of the beast, and the beast has how many heads? 7 heads, but there's also another place where we find 10. Okay, so I think this picture changes over time. And I think the end time beast that we have is going to be 10 heads and 10 horns. Okay, so it's a picture of the enemy's kingdom. Now, these heads, according to what we have here in Daniel, these are the princes that fell with the devil from the second realm. And he's the head of them. He's the leader of them. And he has promised them a share of a portion of the kingdom of this world. And it's divided up into some of these major, major population centers, okay? Persia was one of the major dominions of darkness. And what is the name of Persia today, brethren? Persia is Iran. Okay, and it is still something to be contended with. What's going on right now over in somewhere in Switzerland? There's a big powwow going on again, trying to deal with their ambitions for nuclear power. And Obama, President Obama, gave them millions of dollars. There were suitcases of cash that were delivered to them. Some kind of a deal made that they would delay their nuclear ambition. But on the other hand, what was not given to them was a true assurance of inspection that they would not do it. So now the Prince of Persia is rising up again. He wants his place. He wants atomic ability. So we see one of these 10 heads is probably Persia. I can only speculate. I would say the European Union, the old Roman Empire, that's got to be another one, and probably one of the very chief ones to rise up in the last day. We found also mentioned, and I'll get to it in a minute, the Prince of Greece. Well, Greece is no big power today. So the prince over Greece may have just simply moved over to Rome or to over to the European Union or something. I don't know the names of them all, but we know that they had names according to the region that they were over. I have to believe that there's one that's over America, the Western Hemisphere. Maybe the whole Western Hemisphere. I don't know how much his territory goes. Maybe it's just North America. I don't know. I have to believe there's something real big over Russia. I believe there's a real big dominion over the Far East, over China and that region. We can only speculate, but these things are going to be known. These heads are going to come out and they're going to be known. There's going to be a world government, a world dominion, and they're going to take their liberty, and it's going to be exposed. And then there's going to be one man of sin, Satan himself. You see, this is the result of Satan being cast out. He cast out of the second realm, and Revelation chapter 12 shows that he's being cast out of the third realm, or at least into a lower level of the third realm, to where he can no longer express himself with the liberty that he has been, so that he's going to have to come into one man of flesh who will take over and express the fullness of who Satan really is. Carry it out in that manner. So he's coming with great wrath in these days. Now, we are dealing not only with this lower level, but we're dealing with a realm even below that. Okay, now we cannot fight this with carnal weapons. Well, let me finish here. Let me finish Daniel, because I wanted to get over to the Prince of Greece here. So we ended with Michael, okay? And now in verse 18 again, okay? Then there came again and touched me one like the appearance of a man, and he strengthened me. And he said, O man greatly beloved, fear not, peace be unto thee, be strong, yea, be strong. And when he had spoken unto me, I was strengthened, and said, let my Lord speak, for thou hast strengthened me. Then said he, knowest thou wherefore I come unto thee, and now I will return to fight with the prince of Persia. And when I am gone, lo, the prince of Greece shall come. But I will show thee that which is noted in the scripture of truth, and there is none that holdeth with me in these things but Michael, your prince. In other words, I'm going to go back the way I came, and Michael is holding back these unclean princes of darkness. And Michael seems to be the most powerful of all the archangels of heaven. Okay? Now, there were others that fell with him, okay? And that fell from the third realm. And let's look at some of the scripture dealing with how are we going to deal with these. Start with Romans chapter 8. So, yes, I believe that there is a hierarchy of hell, the devil being the top, these fallen archangels of the devil, and below that, other angels of darkness of a third level of hierarchy down. Okay? Now, Romans chapter 8, verse 6. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal man is enmity against God, for the carnal mind, what did I say? Man, yeah, well, the carnal man too. The carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can it be. So you see, our carnal thinking, natural man thinking, natural man ideas, natural man imaginations, enmity means you're an enemy of God. How are we going to resolve this problem? Well, let me think here. We're gonna look for horses. We're gonna look for chariots. We're gonna pay our way out of it. No, that's carnal thinking. Okay, that's an enemy of God. All right, for to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can it be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. I think we've made the point here. Amen. Hallelujah. Let me look at 2 Corinthians chapter 10. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. And we'll start in verse 3. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. Okay. Now, how many of you are walking in the flesh? Yes. How so? There's nothing I can do about it. Until I die, I am in the flesh, okay? However, I don't have to be after the flesh, all right? Now, there's times when I'm in the spirit, but I'm not in the spirit 24/7, 365. I'm carrying out a normal life of a man of flesh and blood. I eat, I drink, I do the things that human beings have to do. I'm in the flesh, okay? But I do not war after the flesh. Now, war, what is warfare? Warfare is not just having an easy time. Now, I enjoy a relaxed, easy time. I really do enjoy that. And as far as I'm concerned, I seek to find peace and relaxation and ease of my, I seek to not have tension in my life, okay? I don't want tension in my home. I don't want my wife to be in tension all the time and be nervous and upset and worried. I don't look forward to that. Nevertheless, we are in a place where the enemy is not allowing us that kind of a relaxed atmosphere. He's against us. He's pressing every button he can press, every place that he can cause us, hinder us, everything that he can slow us down, everything that he can bring distress to our house, to our children, to anything that we love, he's going to harass and trouble. This is his tactic. This is his way. This is the way he exerts his power and his control. He has no real actual power. He does it all by this manipulation, okay? So though I walk in the flesh, I do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. What does carnal mean? Natural. Physical. The things that I can do by calling on help from others. You know, the things I can do, maybe I can get rid of my problem by paying it off or something. I don't know. Carnal weapons, ways to deal with it. All right. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Now, in other words, God doesn't just want us to escape from this enemy that has been harassing us. He wants to use us to pull down that devil's house, that devil's stronghold. Do you follow what I'm saying? Oh, Brother Mark, what kind of strongholds are we talking about? We're talking about strongholds in your own soul. Do you understand? Have you had strongholds in your soul? Now, these strongholds, brethren, are not just physical, chemical things in your body that are giving you trouble. Fleshly things. It's not limited to that. It's limited to the way we think, the way we feel, the way we think about ourselves. Have you ever considered that pride could be a stronghold? Have you ever considered that? Now, religious loyalty could be a stronghold in your soul. I remember I spent many years in my youth trying to break the stronghold of a religious loyalty, a religious tradition that I was born with. It had such a grip on my soul. I mean, I didn't realize it. I thought, well, this is just normal. We're good people, you know, we're people that love the Lord. We have these several unique traits about us, you know. We're peculiar in some ways, but we're good people. We love the Lord. Why should I try to break the stronghold of that thing? Because it was hindering me from coming into the fullness of the kingdom of God. And I had to break it down in my thought process. I had to break it down in the imagery of my mind. For instance, all of my 5 years, when I left Goshen College, Mennonite College in Indiana, I was Mennonite until I was at least 22 years old. Amen. Everything I did was the kingdom of Menno. And I went to Alaska. I was up there 5 years. I was probably the only Mennonite in the whole state of Alaska. And yet when people would say to me, what are you? Even though I was a member of another church, I thought of myself as being a Mennonite. Well, I use this argument. I said, well, it's a culture. It's my culture, you know? And so we use excuses like that. Oh, we have a unique culture. We have a right to defend our culture. Oh my goodness. That's become a sacred word anymore in the world today. Oh, precious cultures, you know? We can't touch somebody's culture, you know, God-given right. Oh, come on. It's just another unique way of letting the devil in. Break it down. Strongholds, tribal loyalties, whatever they are, familial spirits. Let it be broken down, brethren. Where is our loyalty? Is it flesh and blood? Is flesh, what is it? Flesh is stronger than, blood is stronger than, what is it? Whatever. Let it go. I don't see, and I had a problem. Then I would get into another church and I would be so loyal to that church. And I was aware of their, I was aware of their doctrines being wrong. I was aware that they were suppressing the life of the Spirit, the gifts of the Spirit. I was aware of that. And yet my spirit, see, the wrong kind of loyalty, another stronghold in me. God had to dynamite me out of that place. He had to dynamite me out of Glens Falls. Amen. My boss called me in one day after about 7 years, said, look, you've been here long enough. Time for you to get out and get your own, you know, be your own boss of your own hospital or whatever it is. You know, you've done a good job. I'll give you a recommendation. But, 6 months from now, you should have a new job. Dynamite. Well, it dynamited me out of that church, too. And then finally, I said, oh, thank God, I'm free. Now I can seek the Spirit. Now I can seek the kingdom of God. You understand? These are strongholds. Maybe your stronghold was different. Maybe your stronghold was drugs or sex or whatever, something else. Mine seemed to be focused around religious strongholds. Amen? Hallelujah. Whatever it is, God doesn't just want us to get out of it. He wants that stronghold to be torn down and destroyed. Because when you destroy your stronghold, somebody else is going to have the power to destroy theirs. I've heard many testimonies of people who have older people who have finally destroyed a stronghold in their, a familial stronghold, and finally their children and grandchildren can get the victory over that same thing that has followed them for generation after generation after generation. Brethren, these are devils, demons. Demons from a past generation, a lower level. Now, we're not talking about fallen angels. We're going to get to that. So, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Imaginations and thoughts. Brethren, I can't put my finger on your imaginations and your thoughts. Ezekiel, in chapter 8, he dug into the wall of the temple, and he saw, God gave him a vision of the elders, the men. He got a vision of their thoughts and their imaginations, and it was all unclean. It was idolatry. It was horrible things. And then he gave them a vision of what was going on with the women as well. Imaginations and thoughts, traditions. Amen. Brethren, cast down those traditions that are not of the kingdom of God. Tear down the stronghold. Destroy. Remember that if you're going to take on a strong man, take on his house, you have to first destroy the strong man. Then you're going to destroy his house. Then you're going to take away all of his weapons. Amen. All of his weapons. All of his weapons. Amen. A man one time was involved in adultery, and he said he was going to give it up. He gave it up, forsook the relationship. Amen. But what was he keeping? He was keeping her phone number. Destroy all the weapons. Do you follow what I'm saying? Destroy the accoutrements. Amen. If God has delivered the man of a certain kind of drugs, get rid of the bong. Get rid of the phone numbers of the places you got the stuff. Forsake it. Don't give them your phone number. Get a new number, whatever. Get rid of all the weapons, all accoutrement that has anything to do with that. Hallelujah. Well, you understand by the Spirit. You understand what I'm saying. And having in readiness to revenge all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. Amen. Hallelujah. All right. We're getting into the weapons of our warfare here. Now, let's go down one level to the third realm. Angels that fell from the third realm, all right, and probably fell into a lower level of the third realm, which is what Revelation chapter 12 is talking about. These things from heaven. What heaven is it? It's certainly not the first heaven. It's not the second heaven, because the devil was already thrown out of that. So it's something in a third heaven that's being thrown to a lower carnal realm, which is still a spiritual realm. So I don't know how to deal with it. The devil is not becoming flesh. He's definitely not, but he has to express himself now in flesh. All right. He's still a spirit being. And by the way, our soul is a spiritual entity. We are what? We are three parts. We are body, soul, and spirit. All right? The real me is not my body. What you're looking at in this picture today, that's not me. What I'm looking at as I look at you, that's not you. The only way I know the real you is to have dealings with you. Then I begin to know your soul. I know how your soul operates. I know what your tendencies are. I know the way you think, okay, when I deal with you. And so the soul is a living soul. We are different from the animals because God breathed into man the breath of life. The breath of life is the breath of God's spirit, and we became a living soul. So we are a living soul only because God put his spirit in us also. So we are body, soul, and spirit. The real man is the soul. Amen. And when we die, the spirit leaves us because the spirit is given from God. The only purpose of that spirit in us is to hear from the Spirit of God. When we're dead, we don't need to hear from God anymore because we're either in his presence or we're in a place where we are never, ever again going to hear the voice of God. Never. You're only going to be hearing from devils and demons. You're going to be part of their realm. Amen? So, angels who fell from the third realm, go to Ephesians chapter 6. Now, not only are these princes, Prince of Persia, Prince of Greece, what have you, not only are these princes over large regions, but there are principalities who are underneath them, who are also over territories, all right, over cities, over states. And these, I've noticed even these small villages seem to have some little minor fallen angel of some sort over them. For instance, I know this little community up in the Adirondack Mountains where I used to live. Spirit of alcoholism. Oh my. And I remember one day that somebody came in and bought this beautiful place on the lake right across from where Mike and Dorothy lived. And they were going to make a new bar out of it. And we brethren that were living there, we said, no, nah, this place does not need another bar. So we're gonna come against this thing in a spiritual warfare. We said, well, how are we going to do that? All right. The carnal way would be we're going to go to the village council and we're going to object and we're going to go to the building supervisor and just continue to make our objection, and no. What we decided to do is at night we were going to do a Jericho march around that place. And we were going to rebuke the devil. We were going to rebuke the prince or the principality or whatever it was. And we got out there at night and we started walking around that place. And we were rebuking devils and everything else. we should have done it first in the daytime. I was with them. We got around behind that place and we didn't realize there was a place where you couldn't walk, you dropped off. I fell, I half broke my leg, but we made it around and we made the Jericho March and we said, there, we've done it. That place is never going to be able to function as a bar. Do you know what? It never was able to open. I don't know what happened. I cannot. We went years. We asked the people, what happened to that place? And they said, well, I don't know. They couldn't get their license. They couldn't get their building permit. This and that and the other thing. They just couldn't bring it. They couldn't get the financing. Everything working against them. They finally just gave up and said, oh, we're going to let it be. I don't know whatever happened. Somebody told me they're building a nice new hotel there now. I haven't been up there, for the summer tourists and what have you. But I have to think, you know what? Our warfare worked. We came against it. And it was successful. Now, that doesn't mean you're going to do the exact same thing the next place. God is going to have a different way for you to do. You understand what I'm saying? But we just went out in blind faith, you know, just babes of the Spirit. And God honored that. We've been in other warfare, brethren. We've come against the local things. We've come against the county things, and in different manners. And God has given us success. Now we're coming against something higher. We're coming against something of the higher of the state realms. We're coming against a prince, maybe not just a little angel, fallen angel or something, but a prince that's a little higher now. And we're going to have to go in a higher realm with more warfare, and with maybe it's going to take a little longer. I don't know. But one thing I do know is that God can overcome. And he is going to overcome. Why? Why are we doing this? I can only think because we're being trained. Hey, if we're going to come against global powers that we have never encountered before, we're certainly going to have to know how to win in these lower levels. Amen. Hallelujah. So I said Ephesians chapter 6, didn't I? And let's look at verse 12. Well, let's start in verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. In the authority of his might. Amen. That would be the exousia of his dunamis, I think it is. Yeah. Dunamis, yeah. Put on the whole armor of God. All right. Now, if you're not winning the battle, maybe there's something missing here. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. What are the wiles of the devil? The schemes of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against prince appalities, against powers, the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Amen. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day. The evil day is the day of warfare, and having done all, to stand. All right. So once you've done all, what is it? Stay the course. Stand. Don't move. Now, I remember Brother John. Larry, you remember Brother John. He was telling one day of it must be real situations of people that came and said, oh God, I want my son delivered. I want my daughter delivered. And so God began to answer the prayer. And he began to put the son and or the daughter, whatever, in really hard tribulation. And such that they were in a position where they had to cry out to God. And the parents were so distressed at what was happening to their little honey that they came in to rescue them. And he said, basically what they're saying is, okay, God, wait a minute. I've changed my mind. You're being too hard. Back off. So you're telling God to back off, that you really didn't mean what you said, because you're gonna come and one way or another, you're gonna try to rescue them. It's too much pain. They can't bear it. Oh God, it's too much. You change your mind, then God is gonna say, okay, then I'm not ready to do it until you're ready to work with me. I never forgot that situation. And I don't know, maybe we've seen situations like that. I guess we've seen situations with our own kids that were like that, that we had to just say, look, I'm taking my hand off, Lord. I don't care how much they scream. You're going to have to deal with it. So you're going to answer my prayer. This is my prayer. And I haven't changed my mind. Amen. So, yeah, I know that Rita has prayed that prayer many times. And I imagine Brother Jeremy here is a result of a mother's prayer that said the very same thing. God, if you have to throw him in prison, whatever it takes. Amen. And look at the good thing that came out of that. Amen. Look at the wonderful work of God. Amen. We're talking about spiritual warfare, brethren. We're talking about warring against powers and principalities. So let me give a definition here. I looked it up. Here's the definition of principality. How are we doing on time, by the way? Oh, boy. We're going to have to wind it up here at this point. All right. Principality is, here's the word, the Strong's word is 746. It's the beginning chief of order or rank, magistrate, principal, ruler. That's what a principality is. The chief, the prince. So there are demonic princes that are over polities. What is a polity? You know the word municipality? A polity is a region, a geographic region. So there are princes, and the princes exert their dominion over human beings, human powers, all right? Here's the word powers. Powers are included, okay? Force, mastery, control, delegated influence, privilege, authority, jurisdiction, right, power, and strength. In other words, it's the authority itself that is given to whom? Principalities and powers give their authority to rulers. Rulers. Rulers of the cosmo creator. In other words, the cosmos, the natural world where we live, rulers, governors, presidents, attorneys general, secretaries of state, secretary of war, general of the army, rulers. Princes, hell's princes, spiritual princes, polities over these powers, human beings, okay? Rulers. Ruler over the cosmos, the orderly arrangement of the world, including inhabitants of the world. The creato is the use of strength to seize, to retain, to hold, or to take. Now, we are seeing that power exercised right now in this COVID thing. Tomorrow morning, our governor is going to exert some new powers of demanding masks again. Anytime you go into the restaurant or the grocery store, and she believes that she's just being a real hero in doing this. Well, this is it. She's exercising these powers that has been given to her and is overseen by some spiritual being that is above her pulling the strings, okay? Over in Russia, old Putin, he's doing the same thing. The bear. Remember the bear that had three ribs in its mouth? The bear wants another rib in its mouth. He wants Ukraine among those ribs in his mouth. He's hungry. This is an ambitious demonic prince that is looking to take dominion over some of the put some of the other demon powers underneath him. See, They're always looking for a higher spot. Devil's never going to let any one of them get above him. He'll see to that, but he's going to allow them a certain rank and file. So spiritual powers, non-human spirit, demons, wickedness, depravity, malice, plots, sins, amen. And high places is heavenly places, spiritual places. Okay, so these are the princes of our territories, kingdoms, etc. Now, as I mentioned, some of these fallen angels seem to have specialties. Some of them seem to specialize in divorce. Some of them seem to specialize in homosexuality. And boy, we know where some of them live. I think there's one of the biggest specialists in that out in San Francisco. Seems to be the whole prince there is got that leaning out there. So you can see these, there's places that are specialized in the mafia type of activity, you know, that goes on. Rules of some of these spirits that have transferred from Sicily and places like that. Wicked, violent, evil principalities. Amen. Well, I think we'll quit at that point, and we'll pick it up again. We've got just as much information to go through. Well, let me just take one or two more verses. No, we'll pick it up the next time. It's too long. It's going to take more time. So if you have anything you want to add here, just go ahead and add it at this point. And if not, I'll close it and you can go off the record. Okay, going off the record. Okay, where are we?